Well, it's been a good day on the local all-share index, although volumes haven't been as swift as usual. But certainly we've seen financials doing quite nicely, mining counters not so not doing so well. The gold price sort of like ebbed and flowed into positive and negative territory. But of course, a lot of commodities suffered somewhat because of a stronger dollar and a weaker local currency. So to get more on this, I'm joined by Bright Khumalo. He's a portfolio manager at Vestact. Thanks for joining us, Bright. And I'm so glad you're here because you can break down things a lot better than I can. What's your analysis of what's been happening on global and local markets today?
Yes. So looking at the markets, we're still deep in the green, or we closed deep in the green. The all share up at 0.4%. Resources 10 index, basically, even though some of those mining counters weren't doing so well, it closed up 0.56%. Industrials, 0.35%. Financials, 0.7%. They were up a percent or over a percent at some point today. In the top 40 winners and losers, we had Bidcorp close up 2.9%. Capitec closed up 2.6%. Nedbank closed up 1.9%. In the losers column, we had Star, which is Steinhoff Africa Retail, down 1.7%, Anglo Plat down 1.4%, and Aspen at down 1.3%. So basically what's driving markets generally, I mean, we're seeing the weak rand. The rand currently, as I look at it on my screen here, it's 12 rand 54 cents to the US dollar, about a third weaker against the US dollar. And basically the reason there is that we're seeing the US dollar at almost their all-time highs of 2018. That's on the back of the jobs numbers that we saw, but I think it was more not the jobs they've added, because that was a miss, but the unemployment rate of 3.9%, a number that we haven't seen since about 2006, if I'm correct, and the fact that it indicates that the U.S. economy is firing on all cylinders here. It's such a great story for that country and those who are invested there. We've seen the past 3 days have been very strong in terms of returns coming out of those companies. Most importantly, we heard also Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger over the weekend singing that US song, which is always good for investments. Crossing over to company news, we saw a lot of news around MTN. The CEO is currently in Kigali, but the important news that came out of North of Africa is MTN Cameroon, basically, they finally came to an agreement with the regulators in Cameroon. Their license has been extended by 15 years, so that's very good for the carrier. But this morning on SENS, we saw they basically nominated two non-executive independent directors, one of them which is Swazi Shabalala, a powerhouse of a lady with over 20 years of experience in the finance industry. So I hope she's got plenty to to offer in terms of a robust discussion in that MTN board, because I promise it's not going to be easy.
And what about the other one? Is it an unknown?
The second guy is Mthembisi Jonas, which is I think this is a strategic employment with what's currently going on with the spectrum and how it's being sliced and diced in South Africa, and the communications regulator in South Africa not smiling, not budging, and pushing forward ngenkani in Zulu. So with what looks like a not well thought out process of how they're handling that situation. So I'm not going to delve deep into that. We'll just jump straight to MTN Nigeria, and because this is pre-IPO, the company did say that Nigeria is going to release their own numbers, and we can analyze them so we can get a proper valuation for this business. We saw they currently have about 54.5 million subscribers, of which 2 million were added in the last quarter ending in December, and 2.3 million also were added further in the first quarter of this year. And service revenues, which is made up of data and voice, were up 14.5% to 250 billion naira. That's a lot of money. The data growth and data in terms of the volumes, data growth up 73.2%. But to be fair, it's a very competitive space in terms of data. I think the data prices in Nigeria has gone down very quickly, very soon, as a result of the carriers there being super, super, super competitive. But it's good that the volumes are up a lot. And voice, I thought voice was dead. Up 15.2% in Nigeria. I mean, to be fair, smartphone penetration in Nigeria is not as exciting as South Africa or Iran in terms of markets, or Ghana for that matter. And as a result, you know, still a lot of 2G type handsets, so people are still making calls to each other.
But there's been a lot of investment made in the 3G and 4G space, right? Correct.
I mean, to anticipate the growth, because, you know, as the middle class in Nigeria grows, and as, you know, the oil price keeps going up and up, it makes for a stronger Naira, a stronger Nigerian economy, which bodes well for the MTN investment thesis. And finally, they've secured about 700 megahertz of spectrum there. So again, the regulators and MTN working together to, you know, to deliver that technology to the people, man.
For a change.
Connecting people. Yeah. And another company that came up with a good set of numbers was Redefine. 5.5% increase in their distributable earnings per share. You know what I like about this business is it's very stable. 86 point something of the assets in terms of the property assets, 85.6 billion, that's the number, in terms of the assets that they're under management there. The only thing that really, really hurts, or, you know, that makes the earnings of property fluctuate a lot is that interest rate. Otherwise, if you sort of know that the interest rates are going down globally and they're quite stable, the economy, is in a turnaround mode, it seems to be doing well, you can sort of forecast forward what the earnings of these businesses are going to look like. Looking at their lettable space and, you know, It's I like it. It's a business that you can easily model.
They have exposure in the UK, and a lot of property counters have been expressing some concern about being exposed to that market right now, what with Brexit and what it could mean there.
Correct. This could be affected a lot by some of the financial counters that are moving to Dublin and other places in Europe to avoid having the Brexit problem, as an overhang, and in terms of, you know, hiring staff and, you know, the likes. So obviously, it wouldn't be that easy to get new tenants in, but there will be breakup fees where necessary and the likes. That economy is going to take some heat in the interim, as you know that happens. But you know, this is part of business. It is the risk that you take for going into these markets. But the nice thing is that Redefine is well spread out, and only 25% of their earnings is actually offshore on this specific one. So it's very interesting, very diversified. This is where diversification actually works to your advantage as an investor.
So from your perspective, a buy, sell, or a hold?
For Redefine, yes. I'd be holding, definitely.
All right.
It's great income.
great stuff. And then, of course, a bit more depressingly, Sibanye not doing terribly well. It didn't do well on Friday. And, of course, today, at some point, it was down by as much as 7%. Just a little bit of analysis from you about that stock.
Yeah, so Sibanye, unfortunately, you know, the situation that has led to seven individuals losing their lives is very sad, and you know it is like I said before, it's an inherent risk for the, you know, the deep mining companies, and a solution that's kind of in the cards right now is that dual solution of, you know, automation and having, you know, humans in the process or controlling these robots. But we, in terms of where South Africa is, the company and the negotiation between the companies and the mining companies and the unions, we're not there yet. There hasn't been an agreement because the unions keep saying that they're not interested in giving the employees jobs, the jobs that they refer to as bigger flipping jobs. You know, they want meaningful jobs where the employees feel empowered, which is a good argument. And until those jobs can be redeployed, I don't see this playing out anytime soon. Yeah, but like I said earlier, Peter Bailey, one of the union members, union leaders, actually said earlier that, insinuated that it could have been gross negligence on management side. Yeah, and they're waiting for that report so they could, you know, take proper actions to see what happened. Because apparently a 2.2 tremor is not that big for that environment. It just shows that maybe there was, you know, the correct safety measures weren't followed when that occurred.
Like you say, let's wait for those investigations to be sure what really transpired.
Yes.
And, okay, we've looked at a few stocks. The oil price, you touched on it, but that is quite elevated, around 75. In fact, it was closer to $76. At the close of the market. Your thoughts around that? Are the dynamics in support of a higher oil price, are the days of $35 a barrel long gone?
That's probably where it belongs. That's probably where fair value is. But the market value is showing around 75, 76, like you're saying. That's mostly, you know, a Trump story. I know he said he wanted low oil, but he's attacking Iran now, which is one of the biggest oil producers with about 2 million barrels a month of oil.
It should be barrels a day.
Yes. And the thing is, if they ship that much and they can't take it out of their country, so, you know, you take that player out totally in the supply space. Even though there's, you know, an oil glut, there's an oversupply, we're seeing oil rig count numbers at all-time highs, but because of that, somehow this has been a positive for the oil price, and the oil price is flying. And as a result, in the past 3 months, we've seen companies like Sasol performing really strong, up 16% on the back of a higher oil price. I know they always say they half hedged, but they will benefit from this, which makes sense.
Sasol is an obvious one, but when you do see the price of crude rising, what other stocks could you look at to invest in if you think that's going to be a long haul type of thing?
So locally, there's not many that I follow. I don't think there is many actually oil specific companies here. I mean, there's SEC Oil, which is very tiny. I don't even know if they've got, you know, refinery operations in South Africa.
They're still just exploring. They seem to be exploring forever. When are they going to produce?
Yeah, so there's that issue. And offshore, but there are quite a lot of oil pipelines, oil, you know, like rigging companies. There's many, many different companies that you can invest in. And if you look at the, you know, like if you read the Wall Street Journal or other publications like Bloomberg, you'll see that there's been a big, big, big bet this year, earlier this year in January, by hedge fund managers in terms of just betting on these energy stocks. So that's probably, someone probably foresaw that the oil price is going to go up because Trump doesn't like Iran, and now it's playing out.
And lastly, and very briefly, how does this translate for the South African economy, and, you know, how does that influence the way you invest if inflation is going to rise?
Of course, I mean, this hurts the pocket of, you know, the consumer directly. I mean, it hits your disposable income. Transport prices increase because the petrol price increase and the diesel price increase, and it's definitely not good. We're seeing taxi fares, bus fares, everything will rise as a result. This is a total negative for South African consumer. But I guess a good hedge, you know, a lifestyle hedge, if there is such a thing, will be the new listing of the energy company that's going to be listing soon. So you could buy some of those shares, you know, just to, because they're going to benefit more on the oil price rising. Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, we've run out of time, Bright. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and we could carry on. That was Bright Kumalo. He's a portfolio manager at Vestact.